She'll go 300 hectares on a single tank.
Car from?
It no longer exists, but take her for a test drive, and you'll agree. Zagreb ebnem zloty gdje. Put it in H!
Hello and welcome to Put It in H, a Die Hard Simpsons podcast. My name is Terry.
My name is Andy.
Andy, how are you, man?
I am very well, Terry. Very well. And how are you?
I too am well.
I am glad to hear it, Terry. How have you been?
Yeah, good. Good. Looking forward to getting into talking about this episode.
An iconic episode, you might say.
Really is.
It is Mr. Plough, as you probably guessed from clicking on the title if you're listening. But pretty well-known episode.
Really been enjoying the last few weeks of these episodes.
Going me too. The last two or three have been very good, I think. Surprisingly good, looking back. The actual episode itself, you know.
Because you can always pick up, like the first ones we did, there was always something in each of the episode where it was oh, that's good, but you wouldn't say, oh, that's a classic, but I never would have considered maybe Marge Gets a Job, and I wouldn't have thought it was a classic, but at the time it was the best one we had done, I think.
I agree.
I know we were saying Itchy and Scratchy the movie was probably our least favorite one, which we had the most fun talking about it.
It's true. It's good that even if the episode is bad, we can still actually enjoy breaking it down.
Yeah, I mean, you say bad, but it's still...
Yeah, I mean, bad in, by their high very... standards. Yeah, they're very high standards. But I find that the more I go, it's almost a complete role reversal of the ones if you'd have given me what are we, seven episodes in, that if you'd have given me these seven episodes in, and I
nine if, episodes, man.
Are we on episode nine?
Yeah.
Oh Jesus.
409.
Where was I for those two?
I didn't want to say anything, buddy.
I thought you sounded different.
Yeah.
But yeah, I'm sure if I actually took the list and just actually allocated them based on memory, I would have had them in the complete opposite order of how I would, you know, sync them after actually watching them, you know.
Yeah.
But onto this episode, I have a bit of trivia for you, Terry, if you care to hear it.
Please.
Well, as you actually pointed out to me just a few minutes ago, this was Dan Castellaneta, who voices Homer, won his second Emmy Award for Outstanding Voiceover Performance for this episode.
And rightly so, I have to say.
I think so. A bit of backstory.
The last few years, I only actually realized that they only submit one episode for consideration for an Emmy.
Really?
Per season, so you know,
they have to pick their best one.
Yeah, they have to, you know, they pick their best one out of that season.
Oh, that's mad.
Put forward, they don't judge it over the whole season.
Do you think would they have to put the same episode forward for all awards, or do you think that it could do a different one for
I guess for the Emmys is the big one for them.
Yeah,
if it was. I don't know if there's any other TV animation awards, really.
Yeah, I suppose. The cartoonies.
Yeah,
the lesser toonies. Known toonies.
My six toonies make the difference.
In this episode, apparently, when it was being written, many of the writers' contracts had just expired, so there was a small number of writers at the annual story retreat. And Al Jean was very nervous about how they could write a whole new season with such a small crew.
That's a big thing, that story retreat.
Really? I didn't know what that was. It just sounded funny. What is this, like, just a place where writers go for...
Like, it's like a workshop that they go to sort of get ideas and stuff like that. But, like, the guys from South Park do it quite regularly on their off-season and stuff like that.
No
like,
way.
It's a fairly big thing. Like, you go there, you meet other writers, and you sort of kick stuff around and get the creative juices going, I guess.
That's pretty cool, actually.
Yeah. It'd be really... Imagine going to that, like...
Yeah, an absolute dream. Where is it on? Is it on the same place every year? Do you know what much more about it?
I think it's LA somewhere. Like,
yeah, it would have to be, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
There was a few
out here in Hollywood.
There was a few script changes.
You gotta come with more
specific. Give them the map, Scott. Lenny was going to be Homer's rival as the Plow King in this episode. Would you believe?
That would not have worked for me.
And it literally says the idea was quickly dropped because it did not seem to fit in.
That's not Lenny.
And there was a post animatic rewrite to include one joke that was come up with by Conan O'Brien, and the writers liked it so much they included it in the episode. And it was actually just a visual gag. I don't know if you have any thoughts on what that might be.
Okay, hold on. Help me out here. Is it? First third, second third,
final third.
Final third.
And it's just a visual gag, and it's fairly subtle.
So it's not the goat.
No.
It's not the bridge.
No.
It's not. I mean, I'll get to that one on top. I don't know. What is it?
It was, now I'm sure we'll get into more because I did actually think at the time watching it, what a great bit, but where Homer uses the radio dial when he's...
That's not subtle at all, like...
Yeah, but the actual visual itself is subtle.
Couldn't possibly be talking about the best gag in the fucking episode, like...
I do even remember.
I have it in my notes, like, I love that joke.
I know, I was thinking the exact same thing when it happened. I was like, what a great joke. But anyway, yeah, obviously the writers thought the same, and just that one joke by Conan O'Brien was included in the episode.
That's great.
There was some trouble with the network censors when Homer says on the phone, he's like, yeah, they were gay. About Tony Dow from Leave It to Beaver. But they basically, you know, nothing really came
of it. Tony Dow?
Yeah. Isn't it?
Because I thought he said Tony Plow. Because he's like, Mr. Plow, that's my name, not name again.
I think that's... Tony Plow. Tony Plow. That's what he says in the episode, I guess. But I guess he's talking about this guy. And then a bit on the reception of it. It got a Nielsen rating of 14.6, which is equivalent to 13.6 million households. Now, this episode has actually gotten a lot of awards or a lot of, like, you know, mentions in the top whatever lists and things like that.
It's a fairly iconic one, I think. Like,
Paul Lane of the Niagara Gazette picked season 4 as his top season and highlighted Brother from the Same Planet and Mr. Plow. As we said, Dan Castellaneta won an Emmy Award. Times ranked it the second best episode in the show's history.
Really?
Yeah.
Did it say what the best one was?
No.
Oh.
I know, I'd like to know.
Interesting. Do you know what the Brother from the Same Planet episode is?
Is that with Homer's brother?
It is not.
Oh.
It is
Brother
with...
from the Same Planet.
Do you want to know?
Yeah, go on.
It's coming up in a few episodes. It's when Bart joins the Bigger Brother program.
Brilliant. That one would have slipped totally under the radar. I thought it was the one with Homer's brother.
No, this is much better.
What an episode. That is much better.
It's much more painful than it looks.
I can't believe that's season 4. That's mental. But that's kind of all I have as far as trivia goes, unless you have any other nuggets of info yourself.
No, I just kind of have... I had the thing about Dan Castellaneta as well.
Yeah.
And I also had just a little connection that Adam West mentioning the Batman movies. He mentions Michelle Pfeiffer.
Oh yeah.
But he doesn't mention Danny DeVito, who plays
Penguin.
The Penguin, but also Homer's brother. It's all come full circle.
I like that. I like that.
I guess the blackboard this week is...
Yeah, the chalkboard gag. What is it?
Yeah, a burp is not an answer.
It's fine.
Yeah, it's whatever. Fine.
You know, yeah.
What was your couch gag this week? See if you sync up.
My notes, it was the same, I think, where they go and run and sit on a small wooden chair.
Yeah, that was mine too.
Couch gag, this is my notes. Couch gag, tiny chair, meh.
I'm the same. I have couch gag, small chair, eh.
Didn't even bother with the M. Just, yeah,
it wasn't good enough for a meh.
So far they're 0-9 on the couch gags.
What was the one I said I liked? Couch guy, old couch, that's bad. Switch heads was the one I liked.
Oh, yeah. I didn't have that in mind. I'm 2-0.
So shall we get into the episode?
Please.
Live from Hawaii's beautiful Molokai Island, we're not just for lepers anymore. It's Carnival of the Stars. I'm your host, Troy McClure. You may remember me from such films as The Erotic Adventures of Hercules and Dial M for Murderousness. Tonight we'll see Angela Lansbury walk on hot coals. Excitement, she wrote.
Who could someone abuse their body that way?
Mo, don't throw out that brine.
What? A fantastic way to start this episode.
And we were only just saying it in the last episode, I think, that I love episodes that start with something that they're watching on TV, especially if it's Troy McClure or something like that.
I love how, you know, it's like live from Molokai Island. We're not just for lepers anymore. it's like Carnival of the Stars, like something so ridiculous.
From lepers to Carnival of the Stars.
It's like Troy McClure and stilts, like in a big pop circus.
And he's not quite steady on the meter. I know you can't tell just from listening, but I remember watching it, and he's still sort of like half struggling to stay up on them.
Yeah. A couple of mentions here from Troy. The Erotic Adventures of Hercules. That gets mentioned again, if I'm sure.
Does it, yeah?
I think so. I think he says, I know you from... Or somebody says...
Oh, right.
The Erotic... I think it's maybe when he's getting married to Selma.
Oh, yeah. Can't be
100% on that, but it definitely gets a mention. And then Dial M for Murderer.
Murderousness.
I think, you know, Angela Lansbury walking on coal is a nice little touch.
Yeah, excitement, she wrote.
And then
of course, as we've seen, it just goes to show what an absolute pig Homer is. Don't throw out that brine. Like, absolutely disgusting.
So then it goes into Krusty. We see Krusty talking to Troy McClure. And did you pick up on what was mentioned here?
No.
That he's a Percodan addict? His Percodan addiction?
Oh, yeah.
That'll come back. I think it comes back in the Gabo episode.
Oh, right. I was going to say, should I know?
Why?
Should I? I know.
He's like, why? I think Bart was like, I'm surprised he didn't just blame it on his Percodan addiction.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
You know, I was like, oh,
I can't believe I missed that one.
Seeds being there. And then, I love how he's taming the three tigers. Three Siberian tigers.
Simba, on the ball.
Yeah. Of course. Now, did you pick up on this before this episode, of the fact that they're going for his face because they think the ball is his nose.
Oh, I didn't actually.
Yeah, not the face, not the face.
Because
like,
I was thinking, you don't normally see, like, even though it wasn't like a long clip, but when the Tigers jumped off the thing and they start mauling him, I'm thinking, you really don't see a Tiger mauling go on for this long. Like, they were properly mauling him for a good solid 5-6 seconds, really. Like, you never see that.
I love this outfit as
well. Yeah, I know. Yeah. Pure circus freak.
And they say he's going to be played by Jimmy Smits. I'll be played by Jimmy Smits.
And then also the fact that when he's getting attacked, like, they're just completely nonplussed watching on the TV. Like, they'll be chewing on him for a while.
And one of the questions I thought or had is, like, would they be showing this in a bar? Like, you know, isn't the bar, like, it's normally, like, boxing or football or something like that. It's like, oh, we're watching
the circus.
Carol of the Stars.
Lame.
Yeah. There's a few little callbacks, and I'm going to hopefully point them out as we go along.
Oh, yeah.
Or foreshadowing. Yeah. As we go along. But we got a call off Marge saying that it's really starting to come down, snowing, and she thinks he should come home. To Homer's response to this. Good Marge. Alan Thicke is throwing knives at Ricardo Montalban. Ow!
Sorry, Ricardo.
Sorry, Ricardo.
But, like, it really just shows, like, Homer's, like, you know, like, if it was just like a real world scene, it's just like, it's got the Simpsons there at home and, like, they're calling the dad home from the bar, you know, like they do it in a really lighthearted way, you know, it's a real, like, one of those blue collared family moments again.
Yeah. So then Homer's driving home and he's listening to the always excellent Bill and Marty.
Such a fan of this little bit.
He's like, take it easy, folks. It's snow picnic out there.
I snow what you mean.
You're dead weight, Marty. I love how it was like, he chuckles at his own one, and then like your man just rips him off. Like,
You're dead weight, Marty.
It's so it's disdain for each other.
I'm always a fan of like airing dirty laundry in public, like that sort of stuff. He doesn't even wait till they're off air. You're dead weight, Marty.
So then Homer is trying to make his way home and ends up in a car accident.
Now, can I just say before you continue, right? Because this is a trend that I've noticed, particularly with American shows, and I don't know if we've discussed it before, but Homer has been at the bar for I don't know how long. And he's just driving home, presumably fairly tipsy or drunk or whatever. But I notice in a lot of American shows, like, people will just leave the bar and go drive somewhere. And every time I see it, I'm like, do they not have as big a drink or drive, you know, like drink and drive thing as we have over here?
Well, there's a lot of people get pulled over for DUIs. Like, I think it's one of their biggest, you know, offenses. So
it,
like,
doesn't even seem like it's a big deal to them.
Don't care, but like, it's our generation. Like, my parents, used to go to the pub and then they'd be like, okay, kids, jump in the car, we're all going home.
I know, it was a different time,
Yeah, it was like Clontarf to Marino or whatever, like that, but like, it's, you know.
It was a completely different
world. Now it's our generation, I think, is completely different.
True. I don't know, I just thought that, like, as he smashed into his own other car, I was just like...
Yeah, which a great reveal. Yeah. I was like, I got him as good as anyone. It's like, you see the window, his family are looking at him.
Shocked.
I love that Total Disaster Insurance are making another comeback.
Oh, I didn't pick up. I didn't pick up on that.
You're right. You right, remember them? They were the insurance company he was dealing with when his house burned down.
I did not pick up on that.
Homer the Heretic.
Of course.
He's like, he's just going to give him the check. He's like, before I give you the check, just one question. This Moe's, is a place of business or something? He's like, what do I say? Don't tell him you're at a bar. What else is open at night? It's a pornography store. I was buying pornography.
His brain, like, I would have never thought of that. I love those little gags, like, like in the last episode of The Simpsons where Yuan's like, I'm not that good at haggling, so why don't we just agree to pay whatever you want? It's like right before you get the easiest deal of your life. And this is exactly the same thing. It's like, now before I hand over the check. Like,
these little things. Homer is off to get a new car, and I have to say, it's a simple joke, but it's fantastic. A pickup truck pulls up, rolls down the window, and it's a big
sneering
and it gives him the crook eye.
Great gag.
And then Homer is sitting in the back. Fred Olsey, he rides up here with me. Can't I trust a pig with watermelon, you see? To which it comes back to Homer.
Absolutely slurping away. I love your man's voice, though. It's like, can't trust a pig with watermelons, you know?
Very much like that, don't do it.
Yeah, that's exactly what I was thinking.
Don't no, I got that rod. And then we get to Crazy Black Lab. I have in my notes 10 stars for that
absolutely
name.
Black Lab.
Black Lab, I think it is.
A scene so iconic, we in fact named the entire podcast after it. It's that good.
A great little exchange, if you'll indulge me here.
Please.
She'll go 300 hectares on a single tank of kerosene.
What country is this car from?
What country is this from? It no longer exists. But take her for a test drive and you'll agree. Zagreb immense Lodnidiev. Put her in age.
It's such a quotable bit. Like, it's,
yeah. He's gone and never to be seen again. Like,
put it in age.
You'll go 300 hectares on a single tank of kerosene.
That's like the most Russian sounding sentence as well. On a single tank of kerosene.
I like the next line that it cuts to, you know, the auto show or whatever. And it's like, if we buy our car, we get our parking validated for free. Like, Homer's so excited.
It's a great little joke.
Yeah. And we get a couple of fairly memorable moments. Homer trying to, talk to the model.
Do you come with the car?
Which I can't listen. I listen to it now. It's like, it's just Bart. The girl is just Bart's voice. A little bit tweaked. I'm like, oh, it's kind of creepy.
Yeah, that
like
is Homer. Creepy. It seems like as well like a funny joke for like, I don't want to sound like it's so dated, but like early 90s, like, I don't know, it's just like these sort of jokes seem like were so ahead of its time back then. Like now, like, it's just a funny joke, but like, you know, you've seen it done, but I don't think back then there was many, just even little things like that. Oh, you. It's like, do you come with the car? Oh, you. Just continuing, like, it was a great joke.
And then Bonnie and Clyde car, Bart is having the time of his life.
Little shit.
I like that. It's like, it belonged to Bonnie and Clyde, show a little respect. And like, he hits the car and like a load of cash falls out. They never checked the car. Yeah.
They're just, no one's even opened the glove box. Like.
And then we jump over to another display. And did you notice the name of this display?
No, I did not.
Fourth Reich Motors.
Completely misled.
Fantastic. Our tireless safety engineers crash test over 1,000 cars a year. Hey, wait a minute. That's not a dummy.
It's just exhibit disclosed. It's, I don't know what it is about that German accent as well. This exhibit is closed.
I have Fourth Reich Motors.
I missed that altogether.
Like three exclamation points. Muy bueno. That's fantastic.
That's a great gag. I can't believe I missed that.
Then we cut over to the Batmobile.
Stop right there, Terry.
Oh, pal.
You stop right where you stand, because we got a clip to play of this exact clip. So we will play the clip and come back to you.
Don't you ever talk to me like that again.
You made me look like a mug out there. The way you took that part was a disgrace. All right. Anyway, we'll come back after this.
Adam West! Hey, kids, Batman!
Dad, that's not the real Batman.
Of course I'm Batman. See, here's a picture of me with Robin.
Who the hell's Robin?
Oh, I guess you're only familiar with the new Batman movies. Michelle Pfeiffer. The only true Catwoman is Julie Newmar, Lee Merriweather, or Eartha Kitt. And I didn't need molded plastic to improve my physique. Pure West. And how come Batman doesn't dance anymore? Remember the bat to see? Yo, hey,
yeah. Hey, nice meeting you. Just keep moving. Don't make eye contact.
What was your favorite bit of that clip?
My favorite bit of the clip was actually Pure West.
I'm glad you said that, because we not only we always talk about the Simpsons quotes you use.
Yeah.
And that's one I always use.
Really?
Me and Pilo used to always say that you're like pure tone.
I feel like I want to start doing that straight away.
I didn't need any molded plastic to improve my physique.
Pure West. And then he just goes off the rails. And how come Batman doesn't dance anymore?
I tell you what, did you notice about this and the next Adam West scene? Just to show how weird he is.
No.
The animation starts to move like as if it's a camera. It's like moving at like a Dutch angle.
Oh, really?
Like rotating as he's talking, as if almost like he's spiraling into madness.
I never even picked up on that.
It's like, I think it's like when he's listing off the only true Catwoman is Julie Newmar, Lee Merriweather, or Eartha Kitt. And then it's like it starts tilting and he's doing the pure work. And how come Batman doesn't dance anymore? Remember the bat too soon?
And their faces are just pure shock. Like, do you think would there be an Adam West character in Family Guy if it wasn't for his cameo in this?
I think they did it so much better.
Simpsons did.
In The Simpsons. And like, you even notice that, like, when they come back to him later on, he's a resident of Springfield. Like, his license plate says Springfield on it as well. Like, and it just seems to me, it's like, oh, Simpsons did it.
Yeah.
It'd be funny to make him a weirdo in our thing.
I think they just overused him in Family Guy, because I remember at the start thinking he was so funny, like, and now he's just kind of like one of the characters, which he's still funny, like, but it's, I guess, less is more with The Simpsons, because he's only in, like, a few scenes, but yeah. Brilliant.
But it's way more memorable.
Yeah.
There's that little scene. And then later on as well. But like, I don't think they would have used him per se if they hadn't. Maybe it's because he was so good in this.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, because I think the big shock in this is just that, like, Jesus, Adam West is really funny. Like, which you wouldn't have thought, I guess, from the Batman shows.
I'd highly recommend listening, if you listen to his episode on Gilbert Gottfried's Amazing Colossal podcast, the Adam West episode.
Sold.
Very
those two guys.
And like, yeah, great. Like, the two of them just going. But like,
I'm laughing. I'm literally funny. Already he's laughing. Very, and I don't know what's
he's
up.
He's a very, oh, Gilbert, I don't know about that. tell me that. It's like, Caesar, the guy who played the penguin, he's like, who used to get male actor interns lined up so we could throw orange wedges at their asshole? Oh, Gilbert, I'm not so sure about that.
Oh my God, I'm checking that out. That's so good.
It's great episode. Very funny. So then Homer turns around, and who does he run into?
Our
old pal Raphael.
Our favorite guy. Now, Look, I know we just came back from a clip, Terry, but I'll be honest with you. This clip was too good. I had to throw this in too. So we'll let the listeners listen, and then we'll come back.
Yeah, I can't afford it.
Belly, this doesn't cost money. It makes money. You make the payments by plowing driveways on the side.
Well, I really should discuss this with my wife.
Your wife?
What, do you think I'm going to buy a $20,000 truck just because you make that noise? I'll take it!
Anything this guy does in that voice is always going to be funny. But, like, what I love is the fact that he's so, like, he's not even beaten around the bush. Like, straight away, he, like, questions his manhood right out the gate. Like, your wife? Yeah. And it's such a simple joke. You think I'm going to buy a $20,000 truck just because you make that noise? It's like Homer literally can't take it. No, I'll take it.
I did like the little dream that Homer had of what he could do with the plow beforehand. And it was like, he's with the president.
Yeah, he's got to sneak the artworks out of the White House.
These valuable artworks out of the White House, but I can't get out of my driveway because of these protesters. These young people are about to get a dose of reality and just run through on like a...
Homer's political views.
Murders them. Yeah.
And then again, straight away, like, Marge is obviously thinking, like, why would you do this without consulting me? Like, talk about it.
It makes for good TV. Yeah. Like, poor Marge.
Poor Marge.
But I did love the gag straight after when Marge is giving out to him. And he's like, I guess I'm just going to have to stop doing stupid things. Like, good. Fine. And he turns around and like face plants.
Completely
into the door.
Smashes into the door.
It's mushy. Yeah. Like, did that hurt?
No.
Homer is putting flyers up.
Oh yeah.
And you see Barney.
Big baby. Yeah. That's grim, it's a sight for sore eyes. That'll replace the whale in my nightmares.
20% off a lullabies. Just tell them Big Baby sent ya.
You sicken me.
I love how he's just harassing me, like, I know you can hear me. I'm talking.
You're about a mile, like.
Come to it. Come back, diaper. Great, and I love how Barney gets a good, like, featured spot.
He does. Probably works better than if they'd have gone with Lenny. I don't think the big baby gag wouldn't have worked for one.
Not at all. But they jump over to the church now, and I did like this gag where Homer is doing the reading, and he basically said, in your infinite wisdom, you know the number to call when you hit a plow is Klondike 5-3-2-2-6. Oh, Homer, this is really low. not as low as my low price. And then, like, a little click of the fingers. Of the
two goons, like church goons.
I have that written down, church goons.
Brilliant. Yeah. Just, like, on a second's notice, they're ready to take him away.
So Lisa suggests back at the house that maybe Homer should consider buying Commercial Time on Channel 92. And she checks it out, and who is it?
It's Captain McAllister.
He's back.
Singing his sea shanties, three CDs of sea shanties.
Yeah. Row, row, row your boat in the Navy.
Those ads were so common back then. They were always on.
Oh, yeah. What I thought was great about that ad is it's a couple sitting in front of a fireplace staring into each other's eyes intently with a glass of wine in each other's hand and him
like that voice,
singing sea shanties.
Pirate sea shanties.
And if you act now, you get a bonus CD, Born by Beaver.
Brilliant.
So I guess they go with their commercial and at 3:17 a.m.
along with the other alcoholics, unemployables, and angry loners. I was a big fan of, like, I don't know why, I'm always just a fan of these little scenes, like, they're all just up in their pajamas, like, the entire house is black, like, I just thought that was a very well done scene, where they're just there waiting for the ad to come on.
I did like the fact that they take a little shot at Fox.
Yeah, I got that too.
Again. We may be on a lousy channel, but the Simpsons are on TV.
Then it cuts to the clip itself, or the ad itself, of which we have a clip of, I should say. So yet again, enjoy, and we will come back.
Look, there we are!
It may be on a lousy channel, but the Simpsons are on TV.
Our driveway snowed in.
Old Man Winter!
That's right! I fill your driveways with ice and snow! What are you gonna do about it? Nothing! That's what! Stop!
Mr. Plow!
Get out, you lousy season! Alright, I'm going. My head hurts. I have to lie down for a while.
Yay!
Hello, I'm Mr. Plow. Are you tired of having your hands cut off by snow blowers and the inevitable heart attacks that come with shoveling snow?
Uh-huh.
Then call Klondike 5-3226. Call now and receive a free t-shirt. He could still surprise you.
But I'm a real tightwad. Can I afford this remarkable system?
Absolutely. My prices are so low, you'll think I've suffered brain damage.
You are fully bonded and licensed by the city, aren't you, Mr. Plow?
Shut up, boy. So remember, call Mr. Plow. That's my name. That name again is Mr. Plow. Well, John Q Driveway has our number. Now we play the waiting game. Oh, the waiting game sucks. Let's play Hungry Hungry Hippos.
Who's your favorite in this episode? Oh, that's... That clip there.
I was a big fan of Grandpa, to be honest. Just because the abuse that he gets, like, you can hear it in the audio, but Homer gives him, like, a kick up the hole as he's throwing him away.
He's like, my head hurts. I have to lie down for a while.
I was a big fan of the line, "You are fully bonded and licensed by the city, aren't you, Mr. Plow?" Like, shut up, boy.
Shut up, boy.
And then the way he goes back to him, "Arr!" Like, why wouldn't you, like, why wouldn't you just take that bit out? Like, they only had one take, they couldn't edit.
Like, I love, like, are you tired of having your hands cut off by snowblowers and the inevitable heart attacks that come with shoveling snow? Like, the two kids, like, uh-huh.
But I'm a real tightwad. Can I afford this remarkable system?
So... there's a little montage here of
Homer getting to work.
Homer doing, first up is the Quickie Mart, where Pooh is happy so his store can remain open. And who should show up but Snake, ready to rob the place.
I was a fan of the old folks home, because and when they're like, "Oh, we're not prisoners, we can go anywhere we want," like, "I'm cold and frightened," go back in. But I was the biggest thing that I was laughing at was the little sign on the old folks home. I don't know if you picked up on that at all.
What did it say?
"Thank you for not discussing the outside world." That was very good.
Awesome. Then to the school.
That was a funny one.
I love how it's Martin is the kid that makes it in.
Through the snow.
And it's like, "Oh, we're not going to have classes." And then...
"We won't miss a minute
Homer
of school."
Shows up. "Thanks to your father." Did you get the movie reference?
No.
Here?
Oh, Snow Day? No. Snow Day.
No. Not Snow Day.
Released about 15
Academy
years later.
Academy Award winning.
And a terrible deal.
Academy Award winning Snow Day.
What was it? Put me out of my misery.
The Godfather.
in what
when Bart gets off?
I was gonna say in what world or in what podcast could you confuse? No, it was not Snow Day. It was Godfather.
It was the Godfather.
Oh, when he's getting shot in the Godfather, is it?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, right.
Bit at the toll booth.
Oh, of course. I always thought that was a bit of a ridiculous scene. Like, I'm not a massive.
I think it's really amazing.
Like, I'm not a big fan of the movie, as you know, but like, I don't know that. Like, it seemed like it was real overacting. I do remember
such overkill.
Yeah, like I do remember laughing when I was watching it. Like,
well, he's getting riddled and his body is dancing. I just have. Because after this, then it's like Homer gets the key to the city from Quimby. And then it cuts over to Moe's. And just, I did a little count there of the people who've been in this episode about that, right? So it's like Quimby, Barney, Moe, Skinner, Apu, Grandpa, Troy McClure. And Flanders comes up in the next couple of scenes.
It's only halfway in.
They're all, they're just like putting the garnish on the main the salt course, and it's like the last couple of episodes. It's not, and thankfully, not as the years go on, where it'd be a whole episode dedicated to these characters. They're just here, popping up to support the guys. They're coming in, they're zingers.
Yeah, and then they're heading back out of here. Yeah. There's no need.
Really enjoying.
And like, there's like no need for anything extra from them. You know, like they're just there just to bump up the episode every minute or so. You know, it's great.
In and out. I did like the next one of the lines in the next scene where it was like Mo gives Homer a beer on the house.
A big deal.
To which Barney says, "You didn't even give a beer to those freed Iranian hostages." So I was like, they shouldn't have been there in the first place.
I was surprised to hear that joke in The Simpsons. I don't know. It just seemed like, I don't know what the issue was, but it just seemed like it was a potentially tetchy issue.
It was that film. Did you ever see Argo? No. It was that whole situation.
Right.
Basically, like revolution. They're in the American embassy in Iran. Like.
Oh, right.
Like that's what he's referring to, and how they had to smuggle them out of the country and stuff like that. Like,
learned something new.
But then it sort of basically Homer gives Barney a few words of inspiration, telling him to pull up his diaper, get out there, and be the best damn Barney he could be.
He goes straight out the door, crashes.
Here I come, world.
Mo, like, I think he'll do just fine.
And then
wanted to talk to you about this next scene.
Yeah, I have notes.
Was it a bit much for you?
Back to sex fest mode of Camp Crystal.
Yeah, possibly. Like the way, like, they're all, she's all like, I was wrong about, or basically it's Marge and Homer in bed, and Marge is horned up the gills, and she's saying, I was wrong about
she's
you.
Mad for a plow. Yeah,
and I only picked up on it this time around, where she's like, I'm very proud of you, Mr. Plow. And I was like, Jesus, Marge. She wants him to put on the jacket and all. Like,
but, what I think they get away with it because when she says that and she looks at him with, you know, the half-lidded eyes, really romantic eyes, whatever. The music they use is like the sweet romantic music.
Yeah.
They always put on rather than the you know, like they have that music as well. Like, it's more like, oh, this is going to be sweet, tender lovemaking rather than Homer's jumping in the shower with Marge.
Oh, yeah. Oh yeah, I don't know. Like, I just thought when I remember watching it, even though, like, you know, you're not actually.
It is a bit more. He's still wearing that. He's like, he looks like a creep. Like, he has that gold key around his neck.
He does look like a creep.
Like, he's just in his tighty whities and he's putting on this
big Mr. fat Pell belly on him. She's like, "Oh me." Yeah.
Whatever she's into, like, but,
Mr. Plow. Anyway.
So, and I do like how the next morning he woke up fully clothed.
Just jumps out of bed, clothes on. The next clip, if I'm not mistaken, is one that, or the next part of the episode, we have a clip of. So let's play the clip. Come back after this.
Ah, white gold.
What's it? What's that? I don't...
Hiya, Homer! Say hello to the Plow King!
Barney, you stole my idea.
Don't worry, Homer. There's nothing wrong with a little healthy competition.
I love the fact that Barney, like, one, he's not even, again, tiptoeing around it. It's just, he pulls up in this giant truck, and then you think, like, okay. He's like, oh, there's nothing wrong with a healthy competition. But it's the shooting out of Homer's wheels that was the funniest part. And he just drives off laughing, like, ha, 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 ha.
It's a great reveal. Like, he wakes up and it's like, oh, yeah, everything's gone. And it's like the giant truck. Then it's like, he's gone full blown heel. Like, absolutely.
Just out of the blue.
Takes the revolver out and, like, shoots his tire. Like, arrest that man.
Firearm, open public. Arrest him.
It's attempted murder. And then it's a great little bit here where it's a. I think that must have been the ad break. So it comes back and it's...
Wow, wow, if that isn't Mr. Plow.
Oh, yeah, Barney's ad where he's the cardboard cut out of Homer. He's just completely beaten.
I do like how the two, like, stage hands are trying to, like, pull him off.
And then was it Linda Ronstadt? It's like, Linda Ronstadt. Hey, Plow King, save some for me.
It's like, how did you get Linda Ronstadt?
We've been looking for a project to do together for a while.
Now, we are coming quick and fast with the clips today. The next one, I think it's possibly our last one, but where Homer's basically saying to Barney, after all I've done for you. Anyway, we'll get to the clip. Listen for yourself. We'll come back now.
How could you, Barney? After all I've done for you.
Lachrymose is to dyspeptic as ebullient is to effervescent. All right, Harvard, here I come. Psst, Barney, my dad's asleep. Want a beer?
I don't know. The SATs are tomorrow.
I've got two words for you. Mellow out, man.
All right, just one. If it'll get you off my back. You've been all my life.
Is it just me, or does that clip get fairly sinister fairly quickly?
It kind of does. Wait, like, shows Barney's face changing and all.
Harvard. Yeah, well, that animation, I think,
yeah, was fantastic. Great.
Like, as I say, I'm always such a huge fan of Homer. Either as a teenager, definitely, or as, you know, in his early 20s, 30s.
Basically when he has hair, basically. Yeah.
But, like, Barney... I don't even know what half of the words that he's saying here when he's doing his SAT.
Lachrymose.
Lachrymose is to dyspeptic as ebullient is to effervescent.
Harvard, here
whatever,
I go.
Like,
like he was really on the road to being someone.
Oh my god, Homer essentially destroyed his life. And then Barney starts chugging, and I love the animation, the music they use, everything, the whole package.
It's like
fantastic.
He turns into the Barney that we all know, like, in seconds.
Yeah, it's great. Then it sort of cuts over to Flanders.
He was also using the Plow King services.
Yeah. Thank you, Plow King.
I like the fact there, Flanders says he can plow it again. Homer just takes the money. He's like, but I'm not going to plow your driveway.
Yeah. And then we come back over to Adam West. And Homer gets there late, as usual. Well, behind Barney, as so is the trend now. And he says, Mr. West, you said there was a job here for me.
There was. When I called you 45 minutes ago.
I love that delivery.
Yeah, and, but again, they do the tilted sort of camera angle animation thing. So they make it seem like he's a little bit off the deep end.
I can't believe I missed that. It's first time,
such a good touch. Like, I do like Barney when he's driving away. So long, Superman. Your secret identity is safe with me. So then Homer is at home and he's staring at the phone. Ring. Ring, damn you. Ring. Then he gets a phone call from... Now, I love... He said from delinquent accounts at Komatsu Motors. Yeah. I just have that written down. What a great name.
Komatsu Motors? Yeah.
Yeah. What a great name.
Also delinquent accounts.
Yeah. Oh, you want the Mr. Plow Plow's driveways? This is Tony Plow. Yeah, you know, from Leave It to Beaver. Yeah. There we go.
Which we now learned, or I learned at the start of this episode, it means Tony Dow. This is Tony Plow.
So then Homer says he's going to do a rap.
Ugh. It's such a 90s. Joke rap sort of thing. It's always something. My name is something, and I'm here to say. That's how they all start.
You remember when Homer goes to Duff Gardens?
It's the same thing. Awful.
It's like, Duff Beer is the only way. It's the only way. Breakdown.
Brilliant.
I did like. When he went to the, he jumped. It comes over to the ad agency to cover a new ad.
He's trying to get a proper ad, but like I have to say, I think of this scene way more than I should. I think of it all the time. Whenever I'm listening to the radio, because he's like, you know, those two radio or those radio ads where two people with annoying voices yammer back and forth. I invented those. Or just punches him in the face. Bam! Happens all the time. He doesn't even care. He's just so used to it. But I think of that every time I'm listening to the radio because it's all that sort of stuff. That's basically what it is. Homer just punches him without hesitation, like the stranger.
Yeah.
Ow! Happens all the time.
And then the commercial that they do air is bizarre.
It's like mad black and white.
Kind of like a Calvin
Klein. Yeah, artsy.
One of those ads.
Snow Globe opera singers.
Yeah. And then Lisa asks, was that his commercial? Homer doesn't know. Genuinely doesn't know. And I do like this scene where it cuts over to Quimby on the stairs.
I already know what you're getting at. Yeah.
The torch has been passed to a new generation of snowplow people. That's the part I like the most.
Oh, the snowplow people.
I do. It's like, okay, so this guy plows it good, so he gets it as well.
And like, it's all just like what? Such a niche market of snow plowers.
It's for at most like 2 months a year. Absolute most.
What I couldn't stop laughing at was when he's like, come on, give me the key. And then he's like, these look like teeth marks. I thought there was chocolate inside. Well, why was it wrapped in foil? It was never wrapped in foil. Oh, what a great line.
Yeah. So Homer's sitting at home then, and it talks about Springfield forbidding Widow's Peak is the hardest hit by the blizzard with our own Ernie Pye on the scene. Brilliant. Everything snowed in, all I can see is white.
Ernie, please, the ski conditions.
Mayday, mayday, I think I'm flying into a mountain. Tell my wife I love.
That's great, Arnie. Yeah, not that time, Kent. What a great character.
Right, well, at least we know he survives. Yeah. But Homer then, you know, if Barney's going to play a little dirty, he decides he's going to play a little dirty. And he does his... I think it originated as his impression of Mr. Burns. Hello. I believe you have a little funny. I was wondering if you could plow my driveway at the top of Forbidden Widow's Peak. I don't know. I'd be up there all day. I wouldn't be able to plow any other driveways. Like, there's a $10,000 beer limit for you. Oh, yeah? Which president's on it? All of them. They're having a party. Jimmy Carter is passed out on the couch.
That's all he needs to hear. I'll be right there.
He's in a hot tub with Linda Ronstadt. We forgot to mention.
Oh, yeah.
So it cuts to Homer then. He's with an old woman and she guesses he could plow his driveway. She wonders what happened to the Plow King. But Homer, sticking the boot in, says, I guess he just doesn't respect his custom. Could you make sure not to scrape my asphalt?
Straight away. Kiss my asphalt.
So I says, kiss my ass, man.
Next scene.
He's sitting at home telling his family.
Even though he muttered it under his breath. He's like, so I says, kiss my asphalt.
And then Kent Brockman chimes in with Springfield's beloved Plow King as Trent.
I was such a big fan.
donating $50,000 to the Shelbyville Dance Theater.
Like there's no context there. He's like, here he is donating $50,000 to the Shelbyville Dance Theater. Like, what's that all about?
And then it was that he was caught in the sudden avalanche on that. Well, I think it was captured on film by a camera crew making the upcoming Fox special in search of Bigfoot. Another shot at Fox here. They're really laying it into it. He's like, hold it, Bob. We can see your wristwatch. Like,
Oh damn it.
Hey, what's that? So Homer decides I gotta go rescue him.
Yeah, there's an avalanche after Barney burps on the mountain, and Homer, since he pretty much sent him up there to a certain death, feels like he needs to go and save him.
I did like the little motion of, instead of Homer bringing like soup or something, he cracks a bottle of beer and pours it in. That was nice. And then basically Homer says, this old girl is as sure-footed as a mountain goat. Immediately you see a mountain goat slip-sliding. This always stuck with me, like, the image of the mountain goat, like, and then it's like...
Wah. It's the way he tries to steady himself and his feet just keep going into this mad circle.
Yeah, it's great. Like, so then... You see Homer sort of driving across, and I love the music that they use in this when he's driving across. Epic. It's like, it's so 80s style
action
cliffhanger or something like that. Like, you know, really good. Him across the rickety bridge. Great little reveal of the brand new bridge, just 10 feet. Across,
he just missed it altogether. Like, that car, that bridge that he ends up driving on would never support the car. It was the most rickety old bridge.
Not a chance.
But
I guess you're saying.
It was such a great joke where he's teetering off the edge and he just turns the radio dial to the right and it just tips the car back to the right.
Such a great joke. Really, really good. I have it written down here. It's like, possibly one of my favorite Simpsons jokes of all time.
Yeah, it was just so well done. And it was so simple. Like,
100%.
It's funny that we were both very much like almost in awe of that joke. Like, I made a point to emphasize in my notes, such a great joke.
And Homer gets up there to pull Barney out.
With very little resistance, if I may say.
God.
Like, Barney could have just popped out himself at that rate. Homer just literally held his hand and Barney just stood up.
But here's, like, I don't know if it's just the phrasing of it. He said, dying's not so bad. I'll be reunited with my loved ones. My dad and that plant I never was. Now, is he saying he'll be reunited with his loved ones? And also his dad, and also that plant that he never watered.
No, I think he means
his dad and the plant that he never watered are the two loved ones.
That's what I took from it. That there is loved ones, because like, yeah,
it's his delivery though.
It is a bit of an odd one, all right. But I that's what I got from it anyway. That they were just his two loved ones, was his dad and his plant.
I don't know. Anyway.
Oh, you don't know.
I think Barney and his dad some serious issues. So basically, Homer and Barney decide they're going to be partners. When two best friends work together, not even God himself can stop them.
Oh, no.
We can go outside again.
Just completely melts the snow in like 10 seconds.
And this, to me, is like, if Family Guy would do it, I would say they're just being lazy.
What do you mean, the God thing of just like a quick fix?
Yeah, God.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it's like, okay, Family Guy do it now, it's like it's lazy. But The Simpsons did it
then.
Because they didn't lean on it so much.
Yeah, like you can do it once or twice.
It's funny. Yeah, exactly. And they pick good moments to do it. They don't always lean on it.
Yeah. It's very noticeable when you watch a show that don't know how to end well. And I actually remember specifically thinking that about Family Guy as well, that a lot of the very last joke in the episodes or the very last scene was always a bit like, you know? But The Simpsons didn't really do that. It was either a heartfelt thing or it was funny or whatever. But yeah, they don't lean on that sort of joke too much.
Like, even then, like I say, and I did like this, where it's like Brockman, they're watching it, and he's like, could this record-breaking heat wave be the result of the dreaded greenhouse effect? It's like, well, if 70-degree days in the middle of winter are the price of car pollution, you'll forgive me if I keep my old Pontiac.
So smug.
Yeah. So that Homer and Marge are in bed, they turn off the TV, and they get a call. It's like, yeah, this is the Repo Depot. Excellent.
Yeah. Great name.
I'm just calling to distract you while we repossess your plow. How dumb do you think I am?
Just speeding off with it. Can't be legal.
Yeah. And it's like, Marge says to Homer, you have your help, you have your best friend back, and you have that certain special something.
You mean?
And he fucking doesn't. He only just put on that
sleazeball jacket again.
Yeah.
Our forecast calls for flurries of passion, followed by extended periods of getting it on. It does.
And then that's how.
It's a bit of an odd one, all right. It doesn't seem like a Homer line.
Yeah, but then it's like, no, it sort of ends. Homer wins. In the end, I guess he gets a win, which
it
is
nice every once in a while.
Yeah, yeah, Homer for the win.
Well, that concludes the episode. But should we get into our ratings?
Ratings,
if I may go first, Terry.
Please,
I have got to be honest, this is an iconic episode. It's on a lot of people's top tens, not mine. I will admit I wasn't actually a mad fan of this watching it back. It was definitely up there in terms of like the story, you know, like the story was pretty good, but it was a little bit light on the laughs in comparison to like the last three or four. Like I just have here on my notes, 7 out of 10 is was my reaction.
Yeah. 7,
which is still, you know, for most show standards, good, but for The Simpsons, 7 out of 10 is Like, it really does seem like the most recognizable episodes aren't actually as good as these other ones that I would never think of, you know? That's just how I'm feeling about it as we're going along. But this one, I don't know, I might even call this one the worst one for me that we've done.
What?
I know, and I knew that would be a controversial decision because I knew that you'd like this one. But
hold on. I have the list in front of me here. So, Camp Krusty was better, Streetcar was better, Home of the Heritage. Yeah. Lisa the Beauty Queen.
Maybe Itchy and Scratchy. Maybe Itchy and Scratchy the movie is better. Or was worse.
Worse.
I'd maybe put this over. Yeah. But really, and like, it's not even that like I hated it or anything like that, but it was just, I don't know what it was. Like, it was really top heavy, you know, like as far as the last. Yes,
I have that in my notes. Like, I have that.
Yeah, I would think that. Like, I was real, it kind of just petered out a little bit. Like, at the ending, even though it was, you know, an exciting sort of thing of him trying to save him from the top of the mountain, I don't know, it just didn't do it for me. But I'm interested to get your take on it, because I wasn't sure where you stood.
I would... It's top half of the nine that we've done so far, okay. Anyway. I don't think it's not the best one, but like, there's so many bits in it that I have such a strong affection.
Like the little moments.
I do agree with you that it's, there's so many bits in it. But I do agree with you, it is top heavy. It sort of peters out, or like, you're flying out of the gate the first 10 minutes. It's boom, 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 boom. Kind of around the time when it turns into the sex fest, it's sort of...
Yeah,
when Barney becomes Mr. Plow, I guess I don't know if it's a consequence of him becoming Mr. Plow or Plow King, whatever. It just there's not as many funny moments after that. I think it's the right idea for them to do turn the episode that way. Like, it's a great idea for Homer to have competition and stuff like that. But it's just that everything that had come before it was so good that it's hard to keep sustain it that whole way. And there really is only one story.
And we were just saying about like the subplots and things like that, that how great they were in previous episodes. Yeah, there is no other story here.
Yeah, like the last time you had, like, Bart was the main story, but that got punched up so much by the stuff that was going on around it. Like at the start of this episode, it was like, okay, Homer's at the bar, he loses the car. All the stuff that's happening is all around that. And it's all great. The people are orbiting around and they're coming in for a joke and leaving. But the sort of B story that you were getting was Barney was down on his luck.
Like half a story.
And then that becomes the main sort of thread of the second half of the episode. Like, definitely about 8.5. Okay. I would give this between 8.5 and 9, like, because there is so much.
If Homer has basically got hair for the entire episode.
He has some hair.
So join us for that one, won't you?
As always, you can send us an email at putinhpod@gmail.com, or you can find us on the Facebook page, Putinh, a Die Hard Simpsons podcast.
Or on Twitter at Put It In H Podcast. That's at Put It In H Podcast.
Remember to like and subscribe on any of your podcast applications on iPhone or Android. Or if you're on iTunes, give us a rating and a review.
Five stars only. Huh, T?
We're going to get that on a t-shirt.
It's two t-shirts. 5 stars only, eh, Terry? And the second one is, why say it when we can play it? Oh, brilliant.
Well, until next week, Andy.
Thank you.
If you should die before you wake.
Hello, Joe. Well, we'll see.
Yeah.
So remember... Call Mr. Plow, that's my name again is Mr. Plow.